Jessica Rabbit on steroids. Take a look at this.
This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Straight in, Thomas Muller with a beauty. Goalkeepers do not stop those.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant.
Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, feeding Patrick Vieira, ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. We're your hosts, Joe and Reggie. Tonight we're going to be talking about the EPL. There's a major firing, as we called earlier on in these podcasts. There was a major firing this week in the EPL, so we're going to discuss that. We're also going to discuss some other factors or other issues within the, or I should say other storylines within the EPL. We'll also talk about the Serie A. We'll do a quick recap of the Champions League that was played last week. And we'll also get into our two segments, What a Hit and the Flat Four. So as usual, you can reach us on our website, footballweekly.com. That's football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn. There's a number of different podcatchers you can get as well. Just go to the website, go to the subscribe page, and there's a bunch of different podcatchers and ways you can subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe via email, type in your email address, click submit. Every time there's a new episode uploaded, you'll get an email saying so. You can also reach us on our Twitter accounts. The show Twitter account is football_weekly. That's FUTBOL_weekly. You can also reach us on our individual Twitter accounts as well. Mine's at Reginaldinho_5 and Joe's is JoeCola4. So with all that being said, jam-packed show. Please sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this. So in this week's episode, first off, Joe, hello.
Hello, Reggie.
How are you?
I tell you, I'm better than a certain Liverpool ex-manager.
What do you mean?
I don't know, Reggie. Tell me.
Well, for those of you that didn't hear, big news in the EPL this past weekend, other than a certain team from Manchester getting smashed by a certain team from London, another certain team from London losing to another team. We'll talk. We'll get into all that later on. But the big news of the weekend outside of the football pitch would be Liverpool getting rid of Brenda Rodgers, like I like to call him.
You know, and we called it here. Like, this was us.
Oh, yeah. For sure we did.
We were the only ones. We said this far. Like, we didn't just say this the week he got fired. Right. You know, we called it about, we said this, you know, we said about this watch of these coaches that were on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've been saying it, I think we said it in week two or three about Brendan Rodgers. Maybe in week one we even said, you know what, if he doesn't get things done, he could be on the go, right, or out the door. Mm-hmm. And you know what, he was. So not to bask in the glory of someone losing their job, but he'll be okay. But we were right. We're going to say, told you so.
Exactly. Exactly.
I told you so.
And like Joe said, this is not just something that we picked up on last week. We've been telling you this since the beginning of the season, that this guy, it was either him or, I forget what it was, before we did the Minnow show, we thought maybe one of the teams that came up from Championship would be one of the first coaches to get the axe. But we also said Brendan Rodgers.
Well, we said there's something's got to give. He had a lot of, there was too many quality players he had for him not to get something done, to be performing somewhat better, and he was going to be in the hot seat.
Right.
You saw last year, they obviously had a down year, to say the least, you know, and you can't blame it on, you know, we gave him a kind of a some leeway because he did have a great year the year before, and he didn't have Daniel Sturridge last year and so on and injuries, but there was no excuse this year. They actually revamped, reloaded, but futile in their execution of, his execution, I should say, of game plan. So,
well,
we said that he was going to be on the hot seat. That hot seat got unbearable, and he was fired. And I would say, in this case, rightfully so.
It's a poor run of form, though. I mean, ties against Norwich and losing to teams that Liverpool shouldn't lose to, and then getting smashed by Man U earlier on in the season.
Winning games with an offside goal.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
exactly.
Poor performance, like Bournemouth. So, you know, like,
exactly.
It's something I had to give in Liverpool land. I guess the only thing we could say is, you know, I think that it's better they pulled the trigger now. And
This is the thing that I was saying about my squad. And everyone was asking for Arsene Wenger to leave or to be fired or let go or resign, whatever. Okay? The only time you can do something like that is if there's a world-class coach out there. Because you can't just replace Arsene Wenger, Mourinho, these top teams, Louis Van Gaal, with anybody's. You have to have a personality that can take on, not just coach the players, but take on the responsibility of being the face of a big franchise.
Well, we talk about change for change's sake.
Right.
Exactly. That wasn't change for change's sake.
Right.
I think you're alluding to the fact that, yeah, hello, if we've lived under a rock, we're not aware, maybe. Jurgen Klopp.
Right.
Up comes Jurgen Klopp. Jurgen Klopp, who has become available. We've been talking about this a long time, about him, you know, maybe taking a year, but the time came.
Right.
Liverpool acted.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, Reggie. I think they didn't just they made this was a calculated move, not only in their dismissal of Rodgers, but in their welcoming of Jurgen Klopp. I think they knew what they were going to do,
right?
Before they got rid of him.
Do you think if Jurgen Klopp's not out there, if he's still at Dortmund, do you still think they make this Liverpool would make a move like this?
I think you're going to have to say yes. I mean,
I think so.
Knowing that he's available, like you said, this great crop of manager, and again, this is not a smaller club with not a lot of money and a lot of riches,
they could
pull these strings, and they pulled the string of the year in terms of, you know, getting the manager who's available,
right,
the best one available. And if you ever, you know, we have sung this guy's praises for a long time. We're not the only ones,
right?
You know, if it's not going to work with him, you still have to gamble and roll the dice with him if he's available and he's willing to come to you.
Exactly. It's Wednesday now. They're saying that this should be done by Friday. So he's going to have a full he's going to have a full week to work with the squad before their next game. They're just coming off a loss from their bitter rival. A tie with their bitter rivals, Everton, which is
a debacle of a goal they gave up to in that game.
They're so bad back there. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, their defense.
And we talk about, like, Emery Chan just becomes a different player.
Right.
When he plays at Liverpool. I mean, yes, I know, I get it. When he plays with, you know, the World Cup champion.
Germany
looks a lot different and so on. I get it. There's a different...
But it helps. It helps with the players that are around them too, right?
Yeah, it might not hurt him, yeah. But again, and then Martin Skrtel, like, wow.
Yeah. Should be playing in the Rugby World Cup is what he should be
doing. What is going on there? Like, this team just looks like... Well, team is what they don't look like. They just look like a group of good players, or a group of players, trying to find the buzzword of our show a lot, identity,
mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe this, maybe a guy like Klopp stamps his mark, puts his stamp on the team, I should say, and helps identify that, or at least goes a long way in helping to create one.
Does Klopp go into the transfer market this season, or the upcoming one, and do anything drastic to this team? Does he need to? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think it's the same thing we talked about with him getting hired, in the same philosophy of, if someone's available,
right,
and you can't say no to them, they get him. If not, he rolls the dice with what he's got. Once again, what he's got is pretty good. Like, if you look at them on paper, they should be better than this.
Right.
You know, this is not, again, a mid-table team in terms of not result, but I mean of mid-tier team, I want to say, with, you know, what their, you know, riches they have available to them, whether it be monetary or with players.
Right.
I mean, look at that strike force we've talked about. This has got to be better.
Yeah, when Sturridge actually does get healthy, you'd have Sturridge, Benteke, and Coutinho feeding them. So it should be okay. But
and again, would Adam Lallana please stand up?
He's not in the league still.
Adam Lallana.
Is he still in the league?
Like what?
I haven't seen that guy in a while.
You know, like come on.
I know, and I know they're missing their captain, but he's their captain. But in all honesty, I don't rate Jordan Henderson, but he's still their captain. He's broke his foot, so he's missing. I guess they're giving that role to James Milner, which is ridiculous if you ask me. But there's a couple of injuries that they can deal with. But all in all, this team should be doing much better than what they are.
Much better, and you know, to blame it on that, like we talked about this last week with other teams, especially, you know, I said it with other clubs, especially in the Premiership. No, it doesn't fly with me. Like they got to be better than that. And the performances, you know, the performances are really haven't been there. I mean, results are going to happen. You're going to get teams, you know, tactically make moves that are going to, you know, hold you, or you're going to lose points and draw points. We understand that. But, you know, the managers always say, you know, okay, as long as our play is there, like, you know, our performances are there, the results will come.
Right.
Neither was happening with Liverpool. And this is, I think this is a move that, you know, had legs, had life last year.
For sure.
And this was just enough is enough. And again, he became available. I would venture to say that, I don't know if it was reported, but one duck fell, the other one fell right after. They knew that he'd be available. They probably talked to him and said, is there a chance? That became a yes. And then yes, Rodgers gets fired.
Well, I read he only wanted to go to the Premier League. He said if the right opportunity came up in the Premier League, he would cut his year sabbatical short.
And I think for Jurgen Klopp, this is the team. Other than if the only other team, I believe we mentioned this last year, or sorry, in earlier episodes, if you look at, you know, him being a Borussia person, the two teams that he would fit would be Arsenal and Liverpool.
Right.
I think he thrives on, you know, maybe trying to bring one of those teams, well, Arsenal, back to glory. But, bringing Arsenal back to glory if he had that chance. And based on his, you know, the way they play, and definitely Liverpool, and challenging getting their title hopes, or, you know, dare I say, title win back on track in terms of, you know, what they've done in the history. Right.
Well, I think he'd also probably look good at Man U, too. But I think Ryan Giggs is the next manager after Van Gaal leaves, but we'll see what happens later on.
Yeah, we'll get to them later, now or later. I don't know what we're going to do. Since you brought them up.
Well, speaking of Man U and Arsenal.
Well, Arsenal, I called out Arsenal a couple weeks ago, Reggie.
Yes.
You know, you need a performance. You got to stand up. You got to show something. Dare I say this too? Like, Reg, are we just patting ourselves on the back this week?
I think that's going to be the name of the show.
You know, and listen, we called Arsenal to play. Why not start playing some, you know, counter-attacking football? Uh-huh. We said that they have the personalities, and dare I say, the key personality. Wow. I've been saying this a long time. The key personality who can lead them to great results based on maybe throwing in some counter-attacking football. Alexis Sanchez is the best player in the Premiership right now. Dare I say that?
No, you're absolutely 100% right.
Is it not? Is him and Aguero, I guess? I mean,
don't forget the next Thierry Henry, too, right? So,
we can't
forget him.
Again, right? You know, can we not say that Alexis Sanchez and Aguero, arguably?
Right? For sure, 100%.
You know, he fits this style. Again, they come up with a performance where they mix and match a bit of it. On the break, they are lethal.
Deadly. But I don't know why it takes so long to figure this out for the guys that are in it to say, let's just switch the formation from our tiki-taka to we'll absorb pressure. We're pretty good defensively. We'll absorb the pressure. And then when we go forward, it's over.
And dare I say that's modern football. And again, you know, it's funny to me that this is becoming modern football, how quickly we can attack when the old Catenaccio of the Italian teams and national teams going, oh, here they go. They're just going to counter. And I'm thinking, wow, that was like made fun of for years.
Right.
But it seems like that is the way of football today in terms of the transition from offense, sorry, from defense to offense.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it just seems that Alexis Sanchez, he was built for that. He's built for it. I mean,
well, he likes to run at people. So if you have Walcott, who likes to run at people, you have Cazorla, who can take people on. You have Ozil, who can see that has the vision absolutely to see
and
the pass.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I know that Ramsey missed a chance here, but it was after probably one of the best sequences I've seen in football all year.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic sequence. Now, he missed it at 3-0. Well, let's get serious here.
Right.
He didn't miss it at 0-0 in the 95th minute. So, you know, Aaron Ramsey loves to get in the box and loves to get in wide areas, loves to, you know, so that was he missed that after a fantastic buildup.
Right.
I said, wow, this is what Arsenal should be. Maybe this is their identity. And again, it's in the Premiership, which the Premiership is known for, you know, these fast, you know, actions, fast sequences, you know. So why not?
I don't know.
Embrace it.
I don't know. I have no idea why. It should be a counter-attacking team every week.
I just feel like the song, like, Be Yourself should be playing, you know. Like, just be yourself. Because that's them.
Yeah.
You know, so, well, they flat out just, it was in 23 minutes, it was 3-0.
Right. So for those of you that don't know, Arsenal beat Manchester United this weekend 3-0. At the Emirates, great game. Well, it's a great game for me. But
it was a great game. I mean, never mind if you're an Arsenal fan. It was,
if you're a football fan, that first half, I'd say even it was a clinic on possession and counterattacking. How it's supposed to be done.
We said this before, possession with a purpose,
right?
And effective possession and so on. Wow, did they just showcase that? And again, the transition from defense. The offense was just fantastic. And again, with a key personality. For me, even with all those players, those great players, Alexis Sanchez is just electric.
Yeah, left the game with a little bit of a groin injury and then went to the Chile national team, so I hope he's not going to play.
I'm hoping it's kind of, yeah, exactly, you know, rest up for Arsenal. I'm hoping it's just precautionary. This
guy, I hope so too.
He's such an electric player. I've been saying this forever. You know, we've talked about, I've been watching this guy when he was player of the year in Serie A with Udinese. You know, I said, this guy's going to make a big move. Not just me, but again, he's been, wherever he's gone, he's succeeded.
Right.
He's a winner, you know, and it's fitting that he scored the winning penalty shot in the Copa America, which was pretty cheeky too. But, you know, listen, early favorite for me for, you know, FA player of the year.
Well, I was talking to somebody. I can't remember if it was after our game, one of the players on our team, but he was saying when he watches Alexis Sanchez play at Barcelona, he thought he was just doing well because he was in Barcelona, right? While all the talent around him. But now that I see him at Arsenal, he's just like, this guy's on a different level than most players in the league. And it's like,
He was always the real deal. I just mentioned I watched him just light up teams in Udinese, right? And he was primed for a big move. He had a big move at Barca. You know, goes to, the Premiership club like Arsenal, and he's showing his worth. He showed his worth in day one at Arsenal.
Right.
So this is no surprise. It's not about just showcasing Alexis Sanchez because we're Alexis Sanchez fans. No, I'm a neutral here. It's for the betterment and the success of a football club like Arsenal. If he's doing well, Arsenal is doing well.
Right. If he does well, Arsenal will win, is what we're saying.
Bingo for me. Right. I mean, he's got to be the key player. So he's a superstar among superstars.
Right.
You know, because those players that we talk about, all those number 10s and number 7s that we talk about in Arsenal, the attacking players, the playmaking players that they have, he's still the straw that stirs the drink for me.
Exactly. Exactly. When he was a little bit off, maybe a little bit fatigued from coming from Copa America, 3 weeks off, and then right back into the league. I don't think he had his legs under him, and he was struggling, and what's happened to Alexis Sanchez?
We didn't see Arsenal score goals.
Right, and now that he's kind of back to his old self, it's...
He puts people under. You just said it, Reggie. He likes to run at people. He puts you under.
That's it.
And there's only certain players in the world that could do that. Alexis Sanchez, you put a top five, top ten in the world, if he's not on your list, I need to reevaluate your list.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Yeah. But speaking of that game as well, what do you think Manchester United did wrong in that game where it went so terribly wrong from selection? Well, they left Schneiderlin on the bench. I don't know why.
Again, is Van Gaal trying to, like, it's almost like this arrogance of, you know, your first choice is your first choice.
Right, exactly.
Like,
Joe,
are you trying to say that Bastian, this is not Bastian Schweinsteiger of 3 years ago.
Right.
Okay? He is going to help you, no doubt. But in your biggest games, you got to use your best players.
Right.
There's turnover, I get it. No, there's no turn. In this game, Arsene Wenger, in his preparation, well, I guess losing in the Champions League game is his preparation for it. Mm. But, again, all kidding aside, again, I think Arsene gets a win in terms of the 3 points, obviously. He gets a win in the personnel he put out there, and he gets a win in the tactics.
Right.
The tactics were wrong. I was when they said it in the broadcast, I couldn't agree more. The build-up was slow for Manchester United.
Right.
It was slow. It was just lethargic. They had no answer for how, you know, Arsenal was coming back, not necessarily a shell, but they were in great defensive shape.
Right.
And then just ready to pounce on them when those lines were not penetrated by Manchester United because the passing was slow. The sequences were slow. And, I mean, if you watch Arsenal, their sequences are, when they're flying and they're playing, they couldn't be further from slow.
Right.
So then they recover the ball and just attack them in those spaces. Then, again, I like the fact the commentator mentioned Wayne Rooney, you know, not getting enough of the ball, so then he was dropping so deep. He was dropping deeper than Schweinsteiger.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, wow, this is perfectly plays in to Wenger's, you know, philosophy plan. I shouldn't say philosophy, but tactics. That's spot on from Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly. And the pay coming off at half and Fellaini not even starting.
Yeah, like, what was that? Like, and again, Louis Van Gaal. Are we looking at Louis Van Gaal? Like, is everybody expecting Louis Van Gaal from the Barcelona days? Like, what are we getting? Are they expecting the 2014 World Cup Louis Van Gaal took Holland so far? Like, this is, you know, something's not right here.
Like, I still think you need that. No disrespect to anybody, but I think you still need that younger type of mentality when it comes to the coaching these newer type of players. It's all fine and dandy. Arsene Wenger's guilty of it as well. He still thinks it's 2004, but the game has changed so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like the old tactics are okay in certain situations, but you got to freshen it up. And I think that's where we fall when we have coaches like Van Gaal and Wenger, that they fall back on their tried and tested stuff, but it might not work in this age of football.
Well, I just think that he was arrogant in his approach, Van Gaal. I mean, it's like he was shocked that that's what Arsenal was going
to
do.
Yeah, but coming off what they did during midweek, you would think that they would have to come out flying. Wouldn't you think that Arsenal would come out flying if you're the other team's coach after what happened?
Yeah, you'd expect a response. We talk about this, a response.
Especially at home.
I just think that, you know, to have, I thought they'd be on the front foot at Manchester United. You know, the opposite end of that argument, Reggie, is, well, they're a depleted, fragile type of team. So maybe you take it to them early. Like, it looks slow and lethargic, yeah. And I was very shocked to see that from Manchester United. Very shocked.
It didn't look, I was expecting, I definitely happy, but I was expecting a lot more from them.
Yeah, it's almost like the switch flipped on them in their turn. So, wow, full value. I said, check. Tactical result and with personnel for Mr. Wenger in this game. So, they live to see another day. I mean, so.
Good on Arsenal. Going from one half of the table, talking about Manchester United and Arsenal. We'll go to the bottom half of the table, and way towards the bottom, we have another team from London, West London, the blue side of London, Chelsea.
Is this? I don't think his seat's on fire from Mourinho. It's
made of gasoline. I think.
I think it's like it's in the loony bin. With all due respect, I mean, how can he not be?
Right.
It's almost like Abramovich saying, wow, can you believe it? Like, can you believe I got to, like, go and, you know, can you believe I got to fire this guy? Like,
but who's out? But that's a team definitely that wants a big name coach. And who's out there to get? There's nobody out there.
They're not going
to
give up on him yet, Reggie. We know.
Oh,
that.
No, they're not. I know they're not firing him. They won't fire him.
But, again, something's got to give here.
Well, I think, we spoke about it last week. I don't think these players want to play for this guy.
No, you're right, Reggie. And there's people that are, you know, I know this English journalist saying that Mourinho's lost the room.
100% he has.
I think Mourinho, the room is always, with Mourinho, I would imagine, he's always going to have his soldiers. But Mourinho, it's a fragile one because from week to week he can lose his room.
You can't throw everybody under the bus.
There's some guys you got to
keep upright, and especially if one of them's your captain.
Yeah, exactly, and that's typically Mourinho. He usually has guys that even when other people don't believe in him, he's the one believing in them.
Right,
and he's usually making guys feel uneasy because that's just Mourinho.
Right. Well, you keep him on your toes. It's not like this is not your position. If you're not playing well, I can always bring in someone else. So I don't mind that aspect of his personality when he's keeping players on his toes. But when it comes down to a loss, it's always, oh, this guy didn't do this, this guy didn't do that. Instead of you know what, maybe I should have freshened it up and did this and did that. It could be my fault, but no, it's always someone else. And I know that's what rubs me the wrong way about this.
And I've always thought that Mourinho has had a method to his madness.
Yeah.
But now I think it's a lot of madness. I mean, let's go through it. The doctor, the medical staff.
Right. You imagine that, but
the Diego Costa thing. Like, he's more worried about one-upping Wenger than figuring out this Chelsea team. You know, there's been too many performances. Like, is this really happening? Newcastle this past weekend, Southampton.
Wow.
Like, this is just, there's too many of these happening.
Yeah.
The John Terry thing.
Right. Kurt Zouma thing.
There's just too many of these things going,
Vanovic
championship
too.
Seasons don't look like this.
Right. I think they're too far to be
I think so too.
In the talk for that.
And again, you're looking at in a year where no one's really running away with it. So someone's gonna have to actually, I guess we'll win. But it just does not have the feel that Chelsea can come out of this at this point with all this nonsense surrounding them, right? Never mind the football tactics and so on. Just right now, it just looks like they don't look the Chelsea of, obviously don't look like Chelsea of last year, but they don't look like a Chelsea team that's going to, knuckle down, bear down, and get this done. I mean, they're diabolically bad in champions as well.
Yeah, so. I just don't know. It's like you said, it's the same, almost the same team as last year.
Oh,
and it's still, and they're not even close.
No,
I don't know what it is.
Dare I say?
What?
He might be next. Like, you're next.
Could be, but I don't think.
Well, he'll have the longest leash, I think.
Oh, for sure. He won't get fired until the end of the season if it goes all wrong.
He'll be done
at the end of the season.
He's got a Sir Alex leash on.
Sure.
There's going to be a lot of leeway given to him.
He has an Arsene Wenger leash.
Yeah.
20 years.
There you go.
Anyways. So, those are the major issues coming out of the EPL this week. Southampton beats Chelsea 3-1 at Stamford Bridge. And if you didn't watch that game and you have the ability to go back and watch a replay, Southampton, I got to give them the slow golf clap. That was a beautiful...
Can we talk about a great manager there?
Yeah, Ronald Koeman, well coached. Tactics were spot on.
That manager is earning his keep.
For sure.
Making a name for himself.
For sure. I mean, to lose the players that they've lost in the last, I'd say, even I'd go back 5 years and still have the ability to put a team out there that doesn't look like Sunderland is amazing to me.
We mentioned Lallana before. They didn't do too badly, did they?
I mean, Lallana was there. They had Schneiderlin. They had they had Oxlade-Chamberlain back in the day. Walcott, Shearer was there. Bale was there. There were so many players there, and every year they lose a key player. Luke Shaw was there. They lose a key player.
Yeah.
Dejan Lovren was there.
They
Ricky Lambert was there. They lose a key player, and they're still going out and beating teams.
They look like they're very Sevilla-like, aren't they?
Right. They have a great academy. I think they're the best in England, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, from hands down for me. But and a style, an identity. We know what we're going to get with them.
Right.
You know, and I think these teams, like, you know, they're just, you can't write them off. We know that. Write them off. Dare I say, they might make a jump. So good on them. They're full value. But, again, they're playing, you know, the big storyline there is this really happening with Mourinho? Like, is this really happening? So I'm very interested to see any next result that Chelsea has, the press conference, what's going to happen after. You know, that seat, like you said, it's fuel-like. It's gasoline.
Well, they have a, I don't know if you want to call it an easy draw next. They play Aston Villa next.
Reggie, nothing's easy right now.
Well, for Chelsea, you mean?
You know, and yeah, and I'm not meaning it. Like,
Newcastle was supposed to be easy, right?
So, you know, I really, you know, we try to make predictions on this show, you know, what we think. I got to tell you, I don't know what's going to happen in Chelsea land. So, we shall see.
Yeah, definitely. We'll, this is an international week, so there's no games this upcoming weekend. So we'll definitely see what happens in the next round of the EPL. But it's so interesting. I love where they are. I love where Liverpool is. I love where Tottenham is. So in the standings.
As an Arsenal fan, I'm sure, yeah. For me, as a pretty much a neutral in the EPL, it's great because I just get to, you know, sit back and see what's going to happen next and so on like that. But the international break couldn't come at a better time, I think. Chelsea.
Well, for Chelsea, not for Arsenal. I wanted them to keep on going, but
yeah, they had a little bit of a roll, a big result, obviously. But yeah. Again, let's see what happens in Chelsea land. Who knows? Listen, I think. Okay, here's my thing. More than a firing, I could see Mourinho stepping down. Maybe not getting sacked. Well, that's my prediction. We'll see if that happens.
I think he's a type of personality that will know he's getting sacked, or they'll tell him, "Hey, we can either fire you or you can resign." That's the only way he's going to leave, and he'll say, I'm going to resign, it's not working, or whatever. He'll never get sacked. They'll give him the opportunity to tell people that he resigned, but meanwhile, he's really got sacked.
Well, for Chelsea fans, the last time I think they had that happen, someone take over, you know, think of Roberto Di Matteo, came in and took his
Champions League. One Champions League, played coach 6 games the next season and got fired, so.
Yeah.
We'll see. So, in the second half of the show, which is coming up now, we'll discuss Serie A. Are we going to dip into Champions League? You want to do a recap? You want to do that next week?
We could do a little Champions. Why not?
Well, actually, you want to? Okay, we can do. We'll do a little bit of Champions League, and we'll hit our two segments: Flat Four and What a Hit. So now we're going to talk about Champions League. Last week, Joe?
Yeah.
I think it was last week. So we're in week 2 of Champions League, and the game that I was interested in watching was a disaster.
Shock to me. It was a shock result for most.
And you want to talk about a team that took another team a little too lightly? We can talk about this game.
This is Arsenal again, right? You know, the result, Reggie, just for everybody.
3-2 Olympiacos.
It's an old story.
And it was shocking, this game.
Yeah, they were bad in the game, Reg. They were bad.
Terrible. At home, it was just... I don't know.
Inexcusable. Don't know. You know, intolerable. What else are you going
to
go with?
I wanted to come on...
Shocking.
I wanted to come on and do a show right after the game.
Yeah.
But there was smoke coming out of my ears, and it would just be a whole lot of cussing. So I was like, let me take a couple of days to calm down, and I was still pissed on Friday.
Arsenal reminds me of the kid, like, or someone, you say, "See, I know you can do it."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like with my little four. "See, you know, if you really try, I told you can do it."
But the thing that upsets me the most about this game is the rotation of the squad. And that's what everyone's talking about when you talk about this. Why does Peter Cech need a break? It's the sixth week of the season. It's the fifth game. Why does he need a break?
I'll tell you who needs a break.
Who needs a break?
a permanent one. Ospina.
Well, no, you know what? I don't blame him. Well, he made a couple of mistakes, but I don't blame him. I don't blame him. He's in the net. Wenger put him in. For what reason, I don't know. Well, I subscribe to this thing. It's called Arsenal Fan TV, and there's these two guys that always come on. And what he was saying that in the papers there, Ospina's kind of upset because he was the number one goalie last year, and he's not getting the same chance. So Wenger's trying to appease him by playing him in big games.
Instead of just
leaving him for the League Cup and the FA Cup and all that stuff, he's actually playing him in big games because he's not going to play him in the league. So here's the Champions League. And you can't do that.
These managers are killing me. Like, you're not Barcelona, and I don't mean that in any disrespectful way, but last year, Ter Stegen plays the Champions League, right? Mm. Bravo played La Liga.
Right.
Well, I think that was what they did, right?
Right.
And it worked out well for them.
Barcelona.
Right. They got number 10. He's okay.
Oh,
this is just... 10, 9, 11. You went out and you got Peter Cech. Okay? You have Peter Cech. You roll the dice with Peter Cech.
You play him every game. He can stand up. You play that goalie.
It's a goalie. It's your number one goalie. This is the Champions League. He doesn't get a rest. You know what he gets a rest? Capital One Cup.
Yeah. League, FA Cup, Capital One Cup. I don't care who plays.
Whatever the hell are they going to play in?
I don't care who plays in that. You can put the third string in. I don't care.
That's it. Enough of this. Like, this is where, if I said Arsene Wenger got it right in the Man U game, well, hello. Here's the Sherlock Holmes statement of the year here. He got it way wrong here.
Oh, it was so bad.
Play Peter Cech.
Rest Ramsey.
That's, I think it's just nonsense.
It was so bad.
Play Peter Cech.
You have to.
You know, and this is where... Yeah, do these managers... I know ego's a big part of it, and you have to have... Like, I'll show you.
I know.
No,
right? We're so deep we can play anybody. You're not.
It's Peter Cech. Play the damn guy. You know, like, not to sound like, you know, the ultimate just fan here, but you know, listen. Even if I were a manager in that, even with coaching, there's no way you go to a gunfight without your best weapon.
Right.
You know, they gotta play him.
And John Terry said at the beginning of the season that he would be worth at least 12 to 15 points more, and he would have been the difference in that Champions League game. Even if they tied it 2-2, you're still in it now. Now you have two losses from your first two games, and the next two games are against Bayern Munich.
Yeah, that's right.
Good luck, guys.
Good luck. That's typical Arsenal in Champions League.
Bayern Munich scoring 5 goals in every game for fun at this point.
You know, like, yeah, they are. You know, again, you're right. Not Ospina's fault, meaning you're putting him in a position. Like, what's he supposed to... Like, you know, I just... This is the frustrating part about this, with these managers. Come up with these kind of ideas that, you know, you don't have the time for the makeup here.
Right.
You don't have the time.
Right.
And, you know, I know, you know, he's appeased the crowd, if you will, the masses, by his result against Man U, but...
Yeah, but that's.
I really hope it's not too late for them in Champions. But
it's done.
It looks bleak.
It's done, it's done. It's done. It's done. It's
a Europa League run. Yeah, it looks like a Europa League run might be more in their mix.
You need to get 9 points now, Joe. So they have to beat. They have to beat Zagreb again. Well, they have to beat Zagreb, not again. They have to beat them for the first time. They have to beat Olympiacos in Greece, and they gotta beat Bayern Munich, one of the two times they play them next.
Oh, geez.
Done. It's done, bro. It's done.
Europa League.
Yeah, Europa League. I was making fun of Tottenham for being in Europa League. We're going to end up playing teams from, I don't even know how to pronounce their team names. Those are the teams we're going to be playing on Thursdays. You know, it's going to be embarrassing. I'm not even going to watch those games.
Quote another song, you do it to yourself, and that's Wenger here.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, anyway.
So nothing really went out of the ordinary that past week in the Champions League.
Well, the EPL teams are still suffering in the Champions.
Well, actually, looking at the scores here, wow. Porto did a number on somebody. Porto beat Chelsea 2-1.
There he goes again. Jose's old team giving him more of a headache here. I mean, this was a shock result too.
Yeah, they're in a little bit of a better position than Arsenal because they have a win, but still, I mean,
this is not what the EPL teams should be doing in Champions.
I don't know what it is, man.
Right now,
I don't know what it is.
They're suffering.
The EPL teams, I don't know what it is, man.
And what do we got with our next one, Reg?
United beat Wolfsburg 2-1. City beat Mönchengladbach 2-1. Real beat Malmo 2-0. And nothing really out of the ordinary here. Juve won. Juve beat Sevilla.
Well, again, we'll get to them in the roundup of Serie A. They've beaten some good teams in the Champions League. They're showing a personality in Champions League for me.
Right.
You know, I mean, good win for Man U, I guess. Can't totally be. Okay. Yeah, that's a good win for them over Wolfsburg. It is, for sure. You know, but this Juve team has been some strong teams. Morata is a Champions League demon, it seems. You know, really up for it and so on. And you could tell, like, you know, like we talked about this, Champions could be a reprieve, you know, a second chance for a lot of clubs who are not maybe, you know, thriving in their domestic play. That is absolutely the case for Juventus. Right, they beat Sevilla. You know, they beat Manchester City. This is I think they might be primed for another deep run. Dare I say, here in Champions?
I just don't know why they can't translate it to domestic.
I think it's only a matter of time. We'll get to that in our roundup. Okay. I think it's about. I'll save that for our roundup, but I think it might soon.
Yeah, for sure. We'll definitely talk about that.
Well, we'll have to see. Like, the EPL is on a lifeline here. They're on life support.
I don't know what it is about that either. I don't know if it's just a coincidence that these teams are, all these big teams in the EPL are losing, or it's just, is there just something, a block? I don't know.
No, Reggie, I do have a theory here.
Okay.
A lot of these teams that they're playing, it's almost like when we talked about this in the World Cup or European Championships and so on, Copa Americas. It's a great time for other teams and other players on teams to showcase themselves.
All right.
And they're really up for playing against an EPL team because, let's face it, a move to an EPL team, although it might not mean that you're going to win, you know, titles, it does mean you're going to cash out at the bank.
Exactly.
Or cash in.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And it's kind of, yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. It's them in the shop window against the big teams, Man United, Arsenal, look what this guy can do. You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody was watching Marshall that well at Man United.
But now,
yeah, exactly. And even last year, even in the Champions League, he showed a little bit of flashes.
This reminds me of when Ibrahimovic was, you know, beaking about seven guys when he was at Ajax.
Right.
And you know, AC Milan and Juventus and all these teams, again, at that time were very big, trying to sign him, and they did. It reminds me of a young Andrei Shevchenko at Dinamo Kiev.
Right.
Right, and then, you know, being World Footballer of the Year with AC Milan a couple of years later. Like, it just gives me that kind of, you know, idea or theme. That's what's happening, is these teams are very much up for making their mark against, you know, EPL teams in hopes of maybe making a move. Like I said, obviously the clubs are supporting that because, hey, the teams like Porto are getting results. And then, hey, if they could sell a player, even better.
Right.
And what about managers? You think managers aren't up for it? Of course they are. They might be the new upstart manager who came from, you know, a mid-tier team in one of these smaller leagues, or even not a smaller league, but, you know,
not a world power team.
Yeah, it's the money, right? So again, there's extra motivation there.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So I mean, again, that could be something that plays, you know, a role in it, and so on. And of course, we know there is a certain level of parity now in world football. We get it. We talk about it internationally all the time, and it absolutely carries over in domestic football, and especially in Champions League.
But Joe, still, You should beat Porto. You should beat Olympiacos. Let's get serious. Real Madrid would never lose to Olympiacos. So let's get real there. I don't know.
Well,
what it is.
The other thing is the grind. That grind of the EPL and the games that are played, and the amount of games. I talked about this cup, your cup, my cup, his cup, her cup, Johnny cup, you know, D cup, all that cup.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
You know, but once again, Reggie, as we always say, the future will tell us. We'll see.
Yeah, well, nothing really, like I said, nothing really stands out. Barcelona actually needed an escape route to get by Bayern Leverkusen.
Oof. Yeah, there you go. But
they still pulled it. They were still
with
able to
pull it. With a banger from Luis Suarez.
Yeah, that's why you pay the big bucks for those guys, right?
Oof.
Bayern Munich beat Dynamo Zagreb 5-0, so they're keeping up appearances with 5 goals a game for the last, like 3 or 4 games in a row now. Lewandowski scored 5 goals in a game, so...
Not that good.
Not that good at all.
Wow.
There
I say, Reggie, on the Luis Suarez goal, he really took a bite out of... Yeah, we went the whole show.
Like I said last week, I don't care who he bites, I'll take him on my team any day.
Bite that one, that was a fantastic goal, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Bayern Munich, they beat Dortmund this past week in 5-1. You see that?
Wow. I think they said, hey, all this talk about Dortmund.
Yeah. Put them in place.
Settle down, everyone.
Exactly. Don't get me wrong. Dortmund's still having a good season, but...
Fantastic season. Let's get serious here. Fantastic season.
That's a slap into reality, eh?
Absolutely. That's like, we're still here. And again, the forgotten man here. Like, wow, there's Pep Guardiola. So,
yeah.
We didn't talk much about your boy Pep, but...
Please. He'll be at Chelsea next year.
Oh, no, replacing Mourinho. Wow, Reggie, you're just stirring up that controversy.
Yeah, we'll see.
See, your team beats Manchester United 3-0, you know, the big win. You just start going crazy.
I would like him to replace... No, I don't want him to coach Arsenal. I want a Klopp, but I guess we're not going to... We're going to have to wait 3 more years with Arsene Wenger before we can get him. So, moving on to Serie A.
Well, what you've been waiting for all week, Reggie, essentially.
Pretty much.
Well... This is where I get to cry. I got to start here. You know, those of you guys know, I am an AC Milan supporter. But just, we'll try to deal with this as neutral. I'll try to be as neutral as I can here. They're terrible. They're awful. It's awful. They had, coming off 2 horrible losses. They lose to Genoa, 1-0, and they were just bad, 2-0. They were bad in this game, bad. Then they go in and Napoli at home at the San Siro dismantles them 4-0.
Well, what's going on there?
This is just an atrocious display of an organization that really needs to get rid of an owner, Berlusconi, and a president in Galliani who've had their time.
Didn't the owner? You're talking about the new owner or the owner?
President. Yeah, oh, okay. Sorry, president. Right. In terms of, you know, Berlusconi still being involved,
okay. They
gotta get that brass and the ultras and the supporters are really just fed up with them. They're fed up with them, and they should be. $90 million invested in the team by way of Luis Adriano and Carlos Bacca, who just have not cashed in. They've not put in the performances. Mihalovic, I like him. The jury's still out. He is lacking a few players. I get it, but to have these type of results, does he need time? Of course. But you know, Reggie, it's been 3-4 years. They're out of Europe, not even in Europa League.
Right.
They're finishing 8th, 10th, mired in just mediocrity for an AC Milan.
Right.
This is just, it's now becoming silly.
But you would think getting Adriano, Bacca, even Balotelli into the lineup, you think they'd be able to pull one back at least.
Or keep it tight. Oh, here's the scary part. And again, Carlos Bacca might have had his worst game I've ever seen.
Okay.
This guy was doing great at Sevilla. You know, Balotelli was actually hurt. Didn't dress, wasn't even on the bench. And, wow, you know you're in trouble when a guy like Balotelli, who's been in a poor run of form, you know, other than the last 2-3 weeks, was actually one of their better strikers, and he might have actually given them a lift.
Right.
So it's just funny how things worked out. They're just not even close to looking like a team that has any clue of how they're going to approach a game. Again, Mihailovic is doing his due diligence. He's working hard. You know, I it will take time. But dare I say, I don't know if he has the personalities that will work, and I do mean the word work, for his type of system.
Do you mean like actual physical work, not running and not doing stuff?
Absolutely, putting in the work and buying into what he's really all about. You know, Honda came out this week and said, well, you know, this can't ever be good. He says, you know, it's not only us players. I mean, basically, well, you're blaming the coach. You know, this is not what I've been used to. And to be fair, I mean, we could say that, hey, I mean, I know it might sound very biased here, but this is one of the world's, traditionally, historically, not today, one of the world's best clubs.
Well, for sure.
Successful clubs. I mean, you know, with many world players of the year, and yada, yada, yada. This is just, it's sad in the truest sense of the word, Reggie. It's sad. Serie A needs Juventus, Inter, AC Milan. They need these clubs to be strong for the league to thrive.
Right.
Right? There's great stories, right? But they need them. So I guess in saying that, Reg, Fiorentina and Paulo Sousa continue. This team is for real. And dare I say it, Reg, they might be a team that might be there in the end at the top.
At the top, really?
Dare I say it, Reg? I think a lot of people, a lot of pundits, Nidley are saying, hey, they're taking them for, you know, saying quote unquote for real. I tell you to watch this guy, Bernardeschi. We know about Kalinic, who's another player that might make a big move,
right
at the end of the year, maybe to the Premier League and so on. But these two guys, amongst others, are really putting into practice, you know, the work, the plan, opposite of what is happening at AC Milan with Paulo Sousa. I've talked about him before. He's really garnering a lot of respect, a la Klopp, actually, in terms of being a player's coach and so on, and getting the job done. Jose Mourinho, I know, in this sense, has really backed him and said, you know, he's backed his fellow countrymen and saying this guy is doing the real work, the good work. And, again, many people are they're buying in, and I'm one of those people, too. I'm buying into Fiorentina.
Okay, so we'll keep an eye on Fiorentina for the rest of the season. Absolutely. So you don't think AC Milan's going to make that push, even Inter?
Oh, Inter. You know what? We can't forget about Inter. I think Mancini, again, and here you have it. Again, Mancini and Mihajlovic, very good friends.
Right.
He's getting the results. He's got a little bit of a buy-in. They might be around in the end, too. You know, they were brought back down to earth. We talked about 2 weeks ago with Fiorentina beating them, but I think that they're for real too. Again, I'd be remiss. Torino is doing some wonderful things. I can't believe it. They're doing some things. They're in second or third place in the Serie A, right? Who would have thought that a team also from, you know, Torino, Juventus, out of the two, that, you know, the men in red or maroon, I should say, are ahead of the, you know, powerful old lady of Italian football in Juventus. Would you have thought that? I know, Reggie, you're an avid follower.
knowing the big teams in Italy, I definitely wouldn't have put that together.
Yeah, so, you know, and, like, you know, I've been saying this to you off the air here. Would the real Juventus please stand up?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, fabulous in champions, but just, you know, kind of miring along in mediocrity in Serie A. But Reggie, again, I think they will be there in the end, either to win it or to finish second. I really think they have too much quality. They're going to figure it out, and we're still going to see the best of Dybala. And, oh, yeah, that number six, he's okay, too.
Who's number six?
Well, formerly number six. He's number 10 now. Paul Pogba.
Paul Pogba, yeah.
News out of Argentina that could be a shock return to Juventus because he's not getting paid by Boca is Carlos Tevez.
Really?
So you never know what's going to happen on the Juventus front. So we'll see.
Think he'll want his number 10 back?
I think Pogba might have to kind of mark a Stroman-like hair and give
the number up, eh? Well, we'll see what they're made of. Their next game is actually against Inter. Juve Inter on
that's
Sunday, the 18th, right?
And, Reggie, that's what they call the Derby of Italia, the Derby d'Italia, the Italian Derby.
Yeah.
The two most, you know, historically, you know, the two most supported
teams,
clubs in Italy. I know a lot of people would put AC Milan in there, but it's Juventus and Inter, the two old, you know, standard posts of Italian football, traditionally. Most of the country either supports those two.
Well, I'll watch that game. How about that?
Reggie, I've heard this before. I tell you guys, I would say, like I said, you heard it here, we're calling Fiorentina, I'm calling them for a top three finish, Reg.
Wow, top three.
We'll see. By the end of the year, you can make fun of me.
Somebody was telling me that Italy's going to get another, I'm probably joking, but they're going to get another Champions League spot, and they're going to take one away from England.
Right? Hey, listen, dare I say, you know, the right now, the team that's at the bottom of that is England.
Yeah.
Out of bigger clubs, but, you know, they'll have to fight for that. Again, their performances in the Europa League, I think, because now they're taking the Europa League a bit more serious, kind of out of necessity.
Right.
They've had to.
Right.
because they've been so unsuccessful in champions. So, yeah, that is...
It's just funny because the year that Tottenham finishes fourth is the year that England only has three spots in the Champions League. So
you're just saying, right?
I'm just saying. All right, Joe, we're going to move on to our segments, and we're going to start off this week with... let's do the flat four.
Okay.
It's four, four, it's four, four, it's four. Oh, brilliant!
You ready to test me? I did terribly the last 2 weeks.
Well,
I'm going to make amends this week, I promise.
Here's hoping you do terribly again, Reg.
I promise I'll do well this week.
So in honor of our continuing lead up to what we're going to have a great segment on, following the rise of North American soccer, and in particular Canadian soccer, you know, we're going to continue in that mold today with our first question. Reggie?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am more than ready.
I think this one's a cream puff, a meatball, if you will.
Okay.
You know, so the last time Canada qualified for the Olympic soccer tournament was what year?
Men or women?
Reggie, the men's national team.
The Olympics? Joe. This is a cream puff?
Yeah, well, I thought it was.
Summer Olympics, eh? I don't know.
You're done? 1984, right?
It's getting embarrassing.
Joe, I was going to... In Los Angeles. I was going to say that.
1984.
I was going to say that, but I thought they had made it before. They made it again after that, and I didn't know what year it was after that. I was going to say 84.
1984.
Oh, my God.
1984.
I should get half a point. I knew it. I knew that one. In L.A., I knew it.
You want points for trying, do you? Doesn't work that way. All right, on to our next question, Reggie. So, the defunct and one of our favorite... defunct, figured out, Reggie, I don't know.
Yeah.
One of our favorite leagues in our youth, Reggie,
mm-hmm.
the old CSL.
Yes.
Reggie, CSL, if for those of you guys listening in Canada, you know, Vic Router, make the final, right? From the old TSN, God bless Vic Router, you know, one of the pioneers of broadcasting soccer in our country with old Graham Leggett, which, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, for sure. Right?
Soccer Saturday. So, Reggie,
yes.
The CSL in I'd say late 80s, early 90s, had a few teams. Hamilton had a team, Reggie.
Yes.
What was the Hamilton franchise's name in the old CSL?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say... Oh, my God.
It's good, eh, Reg? Reggie, I know you watched that league.
Give me a hint.
Can't, Reggie.
Sure you can. What does it start with?
An S.
It's not the Steelers.
Oh, my days, what a finish!
It's the Steelers, but I can't give you that one.
Is it the Steelers?
Yeah, it's the Steelers. I can't give you that.
Why not? I'm taking that
one. I give you this one. I think you're going to go 3-for-4 now. But anyway, yeah, it's the Allen Steelers,
yeah,
Reggie.
I'm taking it.
There we go. All right. So, in saying that, you got that, so I think you might get this one then.
Okay.
They had a star player, the Hamilton Steelers did.
Okay.
His dad coached too, I believe. What was his name?
Star player at the Hamilton Steelers in 1984. Hmm.
I think, you know, later than 84, but...
Hmm. Let me take a guess.
An old Ivor Wynn this team played.
Give me a hint.
The hints are done.
Oh, that's it? I don't get any more?
None.
Marco Retta.
No.
Thoroughly unforgettable performance.
I don't know who it was.
Mark Reddit's a great guy, by the way.
Yeah.
No, it's not Mark Reddit. It is Hector Marinaro.
Hector Marinaro.
Oh, that's great. Great hair, too, Reg. Great hair. One more, Reg.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. This is where you can take a split.
I want to do one of these for you one week.
When you get your segment of this, you can do it, okay? You just relax here.
In 1972, there was a team that played out of England's second-tier division. They wore a red jersey. What was their nickname? Yeah, I'm going to... Okay, we'll see.
Guys, so I guess... So all you guys listening, Reggie's obviously complaining.
No. I love it.
A bit easier. Okay.
No. I love it.
Here we go, Reg.
Learning and teaching at the same time.
I think you can make amends here. Okay. I think you can make amends. I have faith in you.
Okay.
It might be blind faith. Here we go. Okay. This is a two-parter, Reg.
All right.
Two-part question.
Is it bonus points or what?
You can make up for it. Okay. You can win this thing.
All right.
Okay. And I know you know this.
Okay.
Maybe that's the kiss of death.
All right. I think so.
In 1994.
Yes.
Brazil.
Yes.
Comes over and plays Canada before the World Cup.
Okay.
What was the result of the game, and who named a goal scorer in that game for Canada?
1994.
Just before they won the World Cup.
3-1, Alex Bunbury.
Wow. No.
It looked like it hit the back of the net!
That was good, Reggie.
Tried.
Canadian fans, it was Eddie Verduzco.
Eddie Verduzco.
With the goal in a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. That's what I meant, 1-1. What did I say?
1-1 draw. Yeah, 3-1, close enough. mired in Reggie's awful performance again. God.
As the boos ring round here in this stadium.
We have a ray of light, a ray of sunshine that comes out. And that's what we're hoping for. And there's our theme, guys, we're good. About Canadian soccer.
Yeah.
And this past week, again, we are going to be the front runners. I'll say it now on the football podcast, Football Weekly podcast. We are promoting, you know, hopefully a rise in Canadian soccer. This past week, the under-23s, and they're continuing their quest for a place in the Rio Olympics, the U23 team. Players that we have talked about, if you guys remember, we talked about some of these guys with Sanford, Carabin, one player that does represent. So the likes of Luca Gasparato, who's playing at Rangers, is out on loan. And, of course, Michael Petrasso, we mentioned him. Right. So the U23s are trying to qualify for the Rio Olympics. They have qualified for the semifinals. I believe they're either going to play Honduras or Mexico. I think they have to just win one. If they win their semifinal game, they would qualify. Michael Petrasso has 3 goals in 3 games.
Well, it's about time. It's about time he's played for them, no?
Yeah, for the U23s. Listen, I'm biased, but he is the best player for Canada. He's been electric. In the last game, Mo Babouli, who's been playing for Toronto FC 2.
Yeah, great player.
Scored a free kick in that game. So hats off to the Canadian boys. We are wishing you a ton of luck.
Definitely.
Hopefully we get through. This would be a great result.
Let's do this. We should be so much better than we are, and it's finally coming. And like we said last week, in all sports, it's finally coming to fruition.
It's coming.
You know what I mean? It's just like, let's get these guys up to the senior team as well after they win this whole thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree, and I think these guys are primed for it. So
yeah, get them up. Get them up when they're 21 or whatever. Let them go through the whole system until they're 30. Get these guys up here.
Yeah, and for you guys listening to us, we mentioned a couple of TFC 2 guys again. Chris Minella playing on the team, Skylar Thomas, and so on out of Syracuse. So these guys are doing their thing, and I'd be remiss. There's a lot of them. Watch the game. So we on the Football Weekly podcast, we're going to be doing some stuff with the Canadian content and so on, and where they're playing and youth players. So we wish you guys well to the Canadian U23 men's hopeful Olympic team. We hope that we get some good results.
Definitely.
I think if they play Saturday, Reg. So let's hope that they get it done. So good job, boys. And
should I definitely cheer you on. Now that hockey started, should I even ask if it's on TV?
TLN TV, Reg.
Probably
TLN
not.
TV.
What's that?
Yeah, TLN TV.
TLN, eh?
They have been broadcasting that with Canadian soccer, or Canada soccer, I should say. And if you guys can't watch the game, follow it on Twitter. Follow Canada soccer on Twitter.
If you're a soccer fan, Canadian soccer fan out there, find it on your TV. Watch it, stream it, do whatever you got to do to watch it. I know there's a lot of things going on in the city right now. Find time to watch this under-23 team. You're going to be very impressed, and especially if you don't know any of the guys we're talking about.
For sure. And like I said, out of the ashes that was Reggie's performance, rises a flame.
The phoenix rises from the ashes. Don't worry, next week I'll be better.
There you go. Reggie says this all the time, guys.
And I'll watch that Serie A game this weekend too.
And he says that all the time.
Going into the last segment of the Football Weekly podcast, we have our goal of the week. Actually comes from the NCAA. It's between NC State Wolfpack and Notre Dame.
Oof.
This is what it sounded like. Again, if you don't, if you haven't seen these goals, go to our website. I put a video of each goal up every week in the episode container. So definitely go to the website and have a look. And right now, have a listen.
To Dukeser, checks around the spacing, flicks it to the middle of the box, and what a beautiful bicycle equalizer by NC State! Knudsen, goal of his career, and we're even.
The bicycle kick equalizer, I did not expect to see that one as that ball got chipped into the box, but Knudsen was perfectly positioned for it. And there wasn't an Irish defender around, so it's not a dangerous play. Look at this great ball in, as this one just falls right to Knudsen. And he made the only decision that he could make with that ball, rather than bring it down and take a shot of trying to whittle it by the keeper. He blasts it with the bicycle kick. Beautiful in the upper left, and we're even at one apiece.
Zach Knudsen's...
What a headshot! What a headshot!
So we gotta go scouring to find goals, and that was a hit and a half.
Oh, that was a hit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we like to get goals from everywhere. It's not going to be from EPL, Serie A, whatever. I don't think we've had a Serie A hit yet, so.
Well, it's Reggie's fault.
Definitely my fault.
We're working on him, guys. But yeah, that's a great hit.
It is.
Good. We get it from the NCAA. There's great soccer being played there. Remember, a lot of those guys. Yeah, they do end up in the MLS, and then from the MLS go on further, right? So,
well, that's what it is, right? They actually have something to play towards. It's not just get your degree and then go work in an office. You can actually continue your soccer playing career. So guys are more focused and inclined to work harder to get there, right? So,
and guys, that goal came, if you see it, right? You saw it, it comes from the ACC. Great soccer played in the ACC.
Oh, for sure. So, one of the best conferences.
Team for team. Yeah, that's true, Reg.
For sure. So that's our show for the week, guys. As usual, you can reach us at footballweekly.com. That's FUTBOLweekly.com. Again, we had a bit of a comment this week at one of our games.
That.
I will spell the website for you again.
That's FUTBOLweekly.com. Well, to be fair, one of our good friends turned 40, so. And maybe he's getting a little older, getting a little long in the tooth there.
You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, and TuneIn. There's a number of different ways you can get our podcast. So go to the website, go to the subscribe page, check all the different ways you can get us, and pick one.
Get to us
for sure. You can get us on Twitter @football_weekly. You can also get to us individually on our different Twitter handles. You're @JoeCola4 and I'm Reginaldinho_5. So if you have anything to say to us, send it, definitely.
And for Joe's 8, remember, help wanted. There's a lot of jobs out there. You might need to start to look for them. So
don't worry, PSG is going to fire their coach soon, so don't worry about it.
Reggie might
resign, so.
Reggie dropping you some gold right before we leave, but we got to leave, though.
For sure, yeah, definitely. So guys, check it out, subscribe, download, listen, share. We'll catch you next week.